The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Thousands of activists joining hostage families for what they're calling a day of disruption, where they're burning tires and blocking the main roads ahead of another planned mass rally in Tel Aviv as well. So actions in both Jerusalem and Tel Aviv today. From Tel Aviv, we're joined firstly by Blake Sifton, who is a reporter with Feature Story. Blake, a very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Will.
Tell us about what's been happening there. We've been hearing the reports across the day, and it seems we have kind of reached that point of mass disruption now with these protests.
Yes, that's right. So the family members of the hostages held in Gaza, as well as their supporters, have been holding nationwide protests across Israel. They're calling for the government to reach a ceasefire now and to, very importantly, abandon their planned offensive to seize Gaza City. That's because they're very worried that that offensive could see their loved ones harmed. The day started with organizers unfurling a large Israeli flag with the faces of the hostages on it on the beach across from the street of the U.S. Embassy here in Tel Aviv. They've been urging President Trump to help get the hostages released for months now. As you mentioned, they then blocked major highways between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, Tel Aviv and Haifa. They protested out front of the homes of government ministers, and protests have also been held outside of the prime minister's office in Jerusalem, where Netanyahu is currently meeting his security cabinet. Now, the day is meant to culminate with another mass demonstration in central Tel Aviv in about an hour and a half's time. The last major demonstration, nighttime demonstration that capped off a day of action, saw some 500,000 people attend. So we do expect that to be very large.
We believe there's around 20 of the hostages who were taken a long time ago now at this stage who are still alive that were taken by Hamas. I was watching video earlier of a mother of one of those hostages who was saying that her criticism of the war at this point was both a concern for those who are still alive and they want to get back alive, but also her concern was too that it feels like this war has no clear end goal at the moment.
I think that's a very common sentiment here at this stage. The war has gone on for 22 months now. The government's goals of simultaneously freeing the hostages while also essentially destroying Hamas, many people feel that those are contradictory, that they can't both be achieved. Certainly the family members of the hostages say that if you go into Gaza City in this attempt to destroy Hamas, their loved ones will very well be killed. Either Hamas will execute them as Israeli forces close in, as has happened in the past, or they could accidentally be killed by Israeli forces, as has also happened. So I think there's considerable concern here amongst the public that there is no end game in sight, especially because the Israeli government, in order to end the war, they've said that Hamas needs to be disarmed, Gaza needs to be demilitarized, and a new entity that's not Hamas and that's not the Palestinian Authority, very importantly, needs to govern Gaza. But they've made no suggestion over what that entity could be. So even if the hostages were released, even if operations wound down, it doesn't seem like that solution is going to be in place anytime soon. And it's also important to remember that this is mostly a reserve military, the Israeli military. So hundreds of thousands of people have served many multiple tours. Many of them have, you know, they're regular people with jobs and families. Sometimes they're in their 30s. So the military itself is exhausted at this stage.
Is there a feeling that the temperature among the public is changing quite a bit here? Because, you know, the IDF say that they're determined to complete their goals and they were claiming that they're 100% not targeting any civilian targets after the airstrike that killed around 20 people in the weekend just gone by as well. But it seems, at least from the outside, from what we're seeing, that there is a weariness about this conflict now at this point among Israeli people.
I think that's fair to say. I think it's important to note, though, that most of the wariness comes from, like I said, the fatigue amongst the soldiers, as well as concerns over the hostages. When you go to these protests, these very large protests that are against, well, they're not against the war, they're for the war ending, but they're for the war ending in order to free the hostages. Mm-hmm. You see very few banners or signs essentially criticizing the war for what it's doing to people in Gaza or how it's the destruction it's causing. But that is slowly changing. We've seen protests with demonstrators holding the photographs of children who have been said to die from starvation in Gaza, but those are still a reasonably small minority. I do think it's also important to note that while there is this public pressure and there are these large protests and there are highways being disrupted, the power that they have over Netanyahu pales in comparison to the power that his far-right coalition partners have over him. He depends on them for the survival of his government. And they are completely against the ceasefire, as they've been against any ceasefire throughout this war. They want Gaza reoccupied, resettled. They want the Palestinian population displaced. And as I said, they have the power to collapse his government. So he appears generally to be listening more to them than to the street in terms of the policies being pursued.
And just on the final note on that, given that Benjamin Netanyahu was setting such, I guess, strict red lines at the start of this, he does not strike me as the type of person who is going to back down, even if that pressure wasn't coming from outside on him.
That's probably also fair to say. I mean, he's resisted pressure from various parts of society throughout this conflict. When the war began, it looked like his time as prime minister was done. Most people blamed him for the failings that led to October 7th. But now, 22 months later, he's still here. He certainly got a major boost after the conflict with Iran. Many Israelis were supportive of that. They viewed Iran and its nuclear program as an existential threat. But no, he does not seem to be bowing to public pressure at this stage to end the war.
Shona Murray is also with us, European correspondent with Euronews. And Shona, the situation here in Europe on this, we've had 206 former EU and national ambassadors, as well as senior EU officials who are currently serving. They've signed this letter, which is a new letter at this point, which is now calling on the Union to take more strict steps on Israel over this.
Yeah, that's right. This is the latest letter with 206 signatures, mainly former EU ambassadors, ambassadors from member states to the European Union or to Israel and so on, calling for the EU to take action, for countries to take unilateral action if the EU is not going to act collectively. So, for example, Ireland's position of having the Occupied Territories Bill, where you refuse to do trade with illegally occupied settlements in the West Bank. Slovenia has already done that. We know that the reason for this is because the EU as a whole has not been able to agree to any sanction against Israel, despite the fact that the EU has its own independent report saying that Israel is in breach of the EU-Israel Association Agreement. But, I mean, one of the suggestions from the European Commission a couple of weeks ago was that Israel will be partially suspended from the Horizon Europe research program. It would only be worth about 200 to 400 million euros to Israel. And even at that point, member states couldn't agree to do that because Germany and Italy, Austria, Hungary, and the Czech Republic consistently block any action against Israel, despite obviously some of the most horrendous scenes that we're seeing in Gaza and have been over the past 2 years.
Yeah, just looking at this letter, which is different to the one that was even drafted a month ago back in July, which again, there's a big increase in the amount of signatories. So
indeed,
we're going from 58 up to over 200 now at this point. They've spoken out against the illegal settlements in East Jerusalem, which would break previous agreements, and also the idea of the two-state solution or a move towards a two-state solution being entirely scuppered by the situation that's ongoing at the moment. So we are looking at quite strong language here, Shona.
That's right. I mean, the latest decision to split the West Bank from East Jerusalem and approve 3,400 housing units in E1 area of Palestine cuts off the two pieces, thereby making it impossible, like a contiguous Palestinian state impossible. And we've also seen, it's highly regarded in Europe and across any legal scholars, that the reoccupation of Gaza City is not only just harming people by causing more starvation, displacement, pain, irreparable harm, but it's about reoccupying and ethnic cleansing. So, and then also you have many Israeli scholars, international scholars, B'Tselem, Israeli human rights groups, saying that what's happening in Gaza is genocide. And yet, the EU is not being able to do anything. We heard today from EU spokespersons for the EU's foreign policy chief, Kaya Kallas, who reiterated the condemnation of Israel's targeting and killing of journalists, as well as health workers, as well as man-made famine, saying the situation is unbearable, untenable in Gaza. But yet, the EU is completely paralysed because the member states like Germany, Hungary, Czech Republic, Austria and Bulgaria refuse to allow the EU to do anything. A lot of these actions can be taken through qualified majority voting, so it doesn't even always need unanimity depending on the action. But even at that point, the EU can't agree based on those countries refusing and blocking any action.
Germany, so
whatever these countries, ambassadors are saying, which is all factually correct, the EU is paralysed.
It seems that Germany are entirely gone down one path when it comes to this as well. So they've also been quite steadfast in the fact that, you know, Canada, the UK and France have been looking at recognising the Palestinian state. And also there's a General Assembly coming up at the UN. Germany have pretty much ruled out adding their name to that.
That's right. Even though there was a decision by Germany a few weeks ago to end export arms licenses to Israel that can be used in Gaza, I mean, Friedrich Merz got huge backlash from his own CDU party for doing that, because obviously there's a very strong German position that regardless of what Israel does, even though it's being heavily accused and investigated for genocide, there are no red lines, essentially, for a lot of German politicians when it comes to Israel. They will just do everything they can to support Israel because of its history with regarding the Holocaust and so on. So that's right, Germany won't agree to that, but other countries are, including Australia. And then you see the backlash from the Israeli government accusing all of these countries of anti-Semitism. Even the US ambassador to, or the Israeli ambassador to France has been called in by the French, because they were saying, you can't just instrumentalize anti-Semitism. We've been supporting Israel for decades, for months. We've blocked any action against Israel. We've tried to keep the communications open by just asking you to allow aid in. But now we're seeing dozens of children dying of famine, man-made famine, hundreds of people dying of famine, of hunger. Doctors telling us that they try to go into Gaza when they're allowed in, and they bring baby formula for babies, and that's taken off them by the IDF. So there's just mountains of evidence of what Israel is doing to the Palestinian people. Germany and others have been trying to persuade Israel to do something, but they haven't been allowing aid in, and Germany still at this point is saying, well, we won't support a Palestinian state. But the other question is, and as the Israelis have been saying, as Ben Gavir and Smotrich have been saying, you know, you can recognize a Palestinian state all you want, but there won't be a Palestinian state to recognize. And that's clear by their actions in Gaza and their cutting off of East Jerusalem and the West Bank.
And the Irish position on this, so there are 10 Irish signatories of the 208 on the letter that's gone to Ursula von der Leyen and some of the other key EU officials, and probably most chief among them is Eamon Gilmore, the former foreign minister and former Taoiseach of the country. But Simon Harris kind of very, very strongly backed the letter as well in his comments at the weekend.
Yeah, well, Simon Harris has been obviously quite strong in his condemnation of not just obviously Hamas's terrorist attack on October 7th and the demand to release the hostages, but also the obliteration of Gaza and the, you know, the 25,000 children who have been killed. So it's no surprise that Simon Harris would sign that, because when he was Taoiseach, he was the one who recognised Palestinian state. And there is a growing number of other, if you look at the list of ambassadors, they're not just there's lots of German, there's French, there's ambassadors throughout the decades who can see the breaches of international humanitarian law from Israel. So I think that's what's interesting, and the point you made earlier was that it has grown from 58 to 206, and it probably will grow. And remember, these are just ambassadors. There is also 1,500 EU staff members who, for the last 2 years since this war has been ongoing, have been demanding the European Commission, which is the protector of European law, that the Commission itself tries to do something to Israel, because they're saying, well, look, the EU purports to be an institution of the rule of law, and yet we have this association agreement with a country that is flagrantly breaching that. So there are many sort of, there's a lot of pressure coming from outside, but remember the EU, the member states are really the strongest in this, and while the Germans and the Austrians and so on have this position, nothing will change.
And on a final note on that, what do we expect the response from the EU to be then?
Well, again, there's an informal meeting of foreign affairs ministers at the end of this week. And once again, there will be a conversation about maybe the first proposal from the Commission, which is to partially suspend Israel's access to Horizon Europe, worth about 200 million, like I said. And once again, Germany will vote against it. Now, it's a potential it could pass if Italy supported, because remember, qualified majority is based on the populations of each country. That's why Germany can block almost anything, because it's the largest population. So under qualified majority, smaller states have a smaller say. But if Italy, which has the second largest population, were to support this, it could pass regardless of Austria and Bulgaria and so on, because they're smaller countries. But what I'm hearing is that there still isn't the majority to do that. So again, what you'll see is another statement saying we condemn starvation, mass displacement, murder, extermination, targeting of journalists, targeting of healthcare workers. The situation's unbearable. We need a ceasefire. But absolutely zero will happen.
My thanks to Seán Murray and also to Blake Shifton for joining us on The Last Word this afternoon.
The Last Word on Today FM.